This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In our continuing study of different areas of paranormal research and studies, we bring on another genuine academic, Professor Paul Kingsbury. He's a professor of geography at Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, Canada. And we're going to focus on a specific project he did regarding the paranormal culture. And before I ask you about that, Paul, can you tell us what got you interested at all in these subjects to pursue this further?
Well, first of all, Gene, thanks for having me on the show. I think I'm pretty orthodox, quite normal in terms of how I got into these topics, because ever since I was a child, I was very interested in the mysterious, the paranormal. I grew up in the southwest of England in a town called Gloucester in the near crop circle country. So most of the crop circles, as many of your listeners may know, occur in the county of Wiltshire. So during the 80s, this was a really big phenomenon in England. And so I was there's a geography right there. I was proximate to that phenomenon. But I was very influenced by, the ghost stories in England. And then when I moved to the U.S. for my graduate studies, I went to the University of Kentucky. I became a fan of Coast to Coast AM, the radio show. So that kind of deepened my interest in the topic. I'm always curious about the world around us. I have a profound belief that there are a lot that miracles happen, and there's more to meets the eye when it comes to where we live.
Now, in terms of that, have you ever had an experience that you would call paranormal?
Yeah. So whenever I speak to the people I work with, and so I often. And my research isn't so much researching on people. I like to consider it as a collaborative project, so with people. And so many of the UFO, ghost, Sasquatch investigators, these are the three main areas I'm in research in. They get involved in these fields because of a very profound experience, maybe multiple experiences, maybe when they were a child and they may have stopped. But one thing that unites them is this certainty that something extraordinary happened. For myself, I mean, I've encountered some strange things that we may touch upon later in the show, but I have yet to have a life-transforming or an inexplicable experience or encounter that I think, yes, they exist, the ghosts, the UFOs, or Sasquatch. I mean, I've seen strange lights in the sky with some of the sky watchers I've been working with, Charles Lamoureux in Vancouver. Several weeks ago, I went on a Bigfoot expedition, and we found some large footprints, allegedly juvenile Sasquatches in the woods near Chehalis Lake in British Columbia. But unlike some of my colleagues, in fact, in academia, in geography, and also my parents, other family members and friends, I haven't been kind of knocked off my feet in terms of a paranormal encounter, but that's not to say I don't think they exist or are real.
Well, of course, we've had some people on the show in the last couple of weeks that people regard as perhaps being too skeptical. But certainly one should be skeptical of anything that is a strange event. You just don't accept things because they're strange or fascinating.
Right. In academia, often the narrative is that academics kind of stay away from these controversial topics. I have to say, Gene, though, in the past decade or so, there's been a growth of research on paranormal cultures. About 5 years ago, there was a book published called Paranormal Cultures, and it was written by numerous researchers in social science and the humanities on paranormal topics. But generally, academics approach these things through the lens of folklore, TV shows, you know, ghost reality TV shows of hunters. But what I was interested in was actually studying the lived spaces, the real life people who devote considerable amount of their time, money, and effort in studying paranormal phenomena. So I think my project's somewhat unique in terms of actually studying with people in real life. I think it's been received very well in terms of my conference presentations and also a paper which will be published on a crop circle conference I attended.
A crop circle conference. What is your take on crop circles?
Well, there's numerous explanations to what makes them. Of course, some of them will be hoaxed. But what I find interesting is that, you know, they've done experiments. National Geographic did this where I think it was about five or six people made a 180-foot diameter crop circle overnight in England. But then you have other formations. Here I think of the famous galaxy formation near Milk Hill in the early 2000s, which was much, much larger than the one that was made by humans. It had far many more circles. It was more complex. And so there is a mystery there that some of these circles have not been accounted for in terms of made by humans. At least no one has stepped forward to say, we made that galaxy formation or this is how we do it. You know, you've got during the 90s, there was Doug and Dave who came out and said, we made all the crop circles in England. But when they retired, the crop circles kept on appearing. So I think it's a genuine mystery, and you know, like many of the topics in my project, I'm keeping an open mind, or I'm not really trying to explain the phenomena, but rather to take seriously the many explanations and narratives that surround these phenomena.
Now, when it comes to crop circles, if those two people were responsible for making most of them, wouldn't that just indicate, well, either they were lying, or other people were in the background waiting to take over?
Yeah, there could be other people involved. You know, this is one of the topics of the conference was the controversies surrounding some of the circles. Many of the researchers there pointed towards the natural or genuine crop circles would often have a brushed appearance in terms of their stalks. There's been laboratory work done in Australia. The places are comparing the crop yields between crops inside and outside the circle. And yeah, in terms of the if significant numbers of people involved, then you know, one thing that I recall was that, well, the likelihood of someone blabbing, you know, open up their mouths about the secret is highly likely. You know, this galaxy formation would take about 50, 60 people to make such an elaborate and large size. And this is even more befuddling given the 5 hours or so maximum time to do this under darkness in the English summer.
So then the artistry becomes a factor here. That makes it more mysterious. Why would they take credit for it if it's something they can't do without a huge team of people? That's a fascinating thing to bring up.
Yeah, this was it's one of the surprises at the conference was the emphasis on their beauty. So Callan Alexander was one of the organizers, and they have this each year. I participated in a sacred geometry workshop, and she took us through the sacred numbers from 1 to 13 and how each of the crop circles, the genuine ones, the obviously not fake ones, could be understood through in terms of their design mapping onto a sacred number.
Let's do our break here. We've got Professor Paul Kingsbury. We're talking about the culture. of the paranormal, focusing now on crop circles. Paul, Gene, and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Professor Paul Kingsbury is here. His study of our crazy paranormal culture and the organizations and everything. And we got into crop circles. And we're talking about some of the contradictions here. How can people say, hey, we did all these crop circles, but the artistry involved is far beyond what they can do in a short period of time. Let's go on.
Yeah, so in the Sacred Geometry workshop ran by the conference organizer, Callan Alexander, there was about 15 of us or so, and she taught us about the various meanings of the numbers, which could map onto the kind of centers. A circle always has a center, and the different designs of the crops would have different numbers of centers that could be then interpreted by these sacred numbers. And she showed how in many natural phenomena, such as seashells all the way up to galaxies, you find these certain structures, Fibonacci numbers, for example, the golden mean within these structures. And it's the same with crop circles. So the purpose was not simply to interpret the crop circles in terms of the sacred numbers, but it was through drawing them with pens and compasses, pencils, that we could become more intimate with, connected to the crop circle as well. And so there was a big emphasis, Gene, on their beauty, their aesthetics, as well as the kind of mysterious etiology or the causes of the crop circles. And so many of the attendees of the conferences were in awe with their beauty as much as the question of how they were formed.
So the larger question arises here. If it's not being done by a couple of people claiming that they're the artists, who did it?
Yeah, so one of the discussions concerned how of those people who have seen a crop circle form, and there have been people, about 50, typically it involves a sudden flattening of the crop. This happens quite quickly, according to the witnesses. One would have to consider the role of the earth itself, the ground. The county of Wiltshire, which has a vast majority of the crop circles that appear in the world, is also a sacred landscape. It allegedly contains underground energy fields known as ley lines. And so if it's not done by humans, then a crop circle may involve certain energies being transmitted through the earth, perhaps even from its core, which some people believe is made out of iron. So it is then possible that the crop circles are a kind of mysterious natural event that we simply haven't understood.
So is ET doing it, or is there an ET that's even available to do it?
Yeah, so theories that these it's not just you know, done by unknown laws of nature, supernatural, but also perhaps ETs. There's also various light phenomena, orbs, which have been seen in the vicinity of crop circles. One of these is captured on video. It's on YouTube. The speculation over ETs. There's also the otherworldly messages in crop circles, which often invoke figures of aliens. There's intergalactic messages based upon some of the Apollo probes we've sent into space. So there's, that is on the table as well. And I think this is what makes it so interesting is the vast range of the theories behind the crop circles, from underground streams beneath the chalk of Wiltshire to extraterrestrial visitors, or perhaps visitors who have been on Earth before human civilization began to.
So how far back do we date crop circles?
I think the first documented crop circle, people always refer to a pamphlet in England during the 16th century. And there you see a kind of a sketch of a kind of crop circle, and it was aligned with devilish activity, a kind of enlaced within the profane, inscribing itself within the landscape. So they go back to the 16th century. There's also been reports in throughout the world, including parts of Africa, where Zulu cultures have witnessed the formation of circles as well. So they're at least centuries old, but they've undoubtedly really came to prominence during the 1980s in England and Wiltshire. So they have historical precedence, but it's only in the past two decades that they've really increased in numbers, and in the past decade, particularly increased in the elaborate designs.
But is there a specific reason you think why it seems to be mostly in that one part of the world?
Yeah, so I think you have to consider the sacred landscape of Wiltshire. So there are many Neolithic sites in this part of England. The Stonehenge is in the vicinity. There's Avebury as well, which used to be actually bigger than Stonehenge in the Neolithic times. So I would imagine that this part of the world has gathered together ancient cultures. One theory is that Stonehenge is actually a fertility site whereby people would bring grain seeds to this site and they would increase the yields of the grain. It could be connected to the sacred landscape as well, and people have suggested this is a key feature. So I think that's a reasonable supposition and certainly an interesting one.
Well, it's interesting here that we started to talk about the culture, and now we're getting into crop circles. And that's something I kind of didn't expect, but I'm happy to see that. So from there, do you see any connection at all between the crop circle phenomenon and all this other stuff we look into, like UFOs?
Yeah, so it's interesting to me when I attend, say, a UFO conference. I've been to the MUFON conference once when it was held in Irvine, California. And near where you are, Gene, I went to Scottsdale for the Open Minds International UFO Congress meeting. And often in speaking with my interviewees, people who participate in the conferences, you get crossovers between different paranormal genres. So I remember one interview concerned the witnessing of a Bigfoot near of a UFO, a spacecraft. And during the Crop Circle conference last year, there was positing of alien activity and spaceships. So, yes, you cannot neatly separate these phenomena together. They often collide, overlap. Bigfoot is a good example here. You get considerable debates between those people who think Bigfoot is a flesh and bone hominid, and other people who, affirm the woo factor, the notion that Bigfoot is essentially an interdimensional being. So I think they're all connected up insofar as they have so far defied explanation in terms of known laws of nature and science.
We've got Professor Paul Kingsbury on the Paracast, and Randall and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNLive.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Republicans are now in control of the White House, the Senate, and the Supreme Court. President Trump has been speaking about this at a rally in Kansas.
Just a few hours ago, the U.S. Senate confirmed Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
Protesters from both sides chanted at the Supreme Court and the Capitol.
Vote him out! Vote him out! November is coming! November is coming!
The
sergeant at arms will restore order in the gallery.
The Senate barely confirmed Brett Kavanaugh after sexual misconduct allegations surfaced. Vice President Mike Pence officiated.
On this vote, the ayes are 50, the nays are 48.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I'd like to remind our listeners, we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. It's a wrap-up show. Sometimes it's a continuation of the existing episode. And it's all available if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. Paracast Plus also offers the ad-free version of this show. Check it out. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Professor Paul Kingsbury is here, and he's an academic, and we don't see lots of people who have academic credentials getting involved in paranormal research. Why do you think that is?
I think typically when it comes to studying paranormal phenomena, I mean, during the 50s and 60s, there were universities in North America, for example, who were interested in parapsychology. So this is also the height of the flying saucer phenomena. So there is a history of academic study in anomalous phenomena, but I think during the 70s, 80s, science, you know, kind of for whatever reason, academic scientists dismissed such phenomena, and so it became a kind of fringe area of study. But nonetheless, social scientists like myself are still intrigued and take seriously the importance of the paranormal in people's experiences and social understandings of the world and cultural formations. So there's a split then between science and academia that shuns or is skeptical of such phenomena versus humanities social scientists who actually take it quite seriously.
That comes as a surprise to me because you hear so much that very few scientists consider UFOs, but is it really, or any of the other subjects, but is it also partly because they look at us as being kind of weird people?
You know, you'd have to speak to scientists themselves to take that on. But on the other hand, if you look at quantum physicists like Michio Kaku, who has talked about the likelihood of multiverses, there are realms of science which are fully invested into the strange fabric of the universe. And so in a sense, the notion of the paranormal is that which can't be scientifically explained, but certain branches of science are very interested in the paradoxical formations of the universe. So it's important, I think, not to kind of make science into this monolithic entity, but rather to appreciate that science is always kind of evolved and transformed as it butts up against that which can't be explained. So there's a lot of research on the contingencies of science, the accidents of science. We shouldn't separate or make oppositional the paranormal and science too much, although I think you're right, Gene, that there is a kind of distanciation or skepticism towards serious academic study of certain paranormal topics.
What do you think of us people getting involved in this field? Are we any way different from anybody else?
I like that question because one of my main arguments is that UFO conferences are essentially the same as academic conferences, albeit they have different topics. So like academic conferences, you go to a UFO conference, you get your tote bag full of swag, you get your name tag, you attend paper sessions, awards, banquets, there'll be late night hotel lobby bar discussions, different theories of ET and so on. I'm struck, and I argue this when I present papers, that the paranormal field is like a parallel universe to the academics. So in academia, and I know in paranormal cultures, you get some interesting characters. People drift towards different theories and attracted towards different kinds of people and figures. So I really don't see much difference in terms of when it comes to people, in terms of whether they study physics, chemistry, or whether they're engaged in tracking Sasquatch or understanding the lights over Phoenix and the potential explanations for that.
What about the Phoenix lights? That certainly became a big issue years ago, and it remains a big issue with some people who continue to investigate it and try to find more things about it than we originally expected.
Yeah, it's an exemplary event. What strikes me is the multiple witnesses regarding this event, and also what's interesting is the response to the event. I think during a news conference, there was maybe an official who kind of ridiculed it with the alien mask or outfit, and so many ufologists were kind of dismayed by that treatment. It's relatively recent. As a phenomenon, and so it's a localized event as well. So it's a good example here of a geography of a UFO event where it appears over an urban city. It's kind of constrained temporally in terms of how long it lasted and also the space. So yeah, it's a good one for sure, Gene.
Do you subscribe to the possibility of window areas?
Window areas?
They seem to attract more UFO and other kind of paranormal activity.
Oh, okay. Regarding UFOs, I'm familiar with the term flap areas or flaps, where there be a spatial concentration or there be a certain area in the world that is attracts the UFOs. So actually, I'm working with Charles Lamoureux. He's based in downtown Vancouver. He is a sky watcher who has a kind of mobile sky watching unit, is what he calls it, that has numerous cameras attached to it. And he's convinced that Vancouver is a flap area. It's a thin area. And one of his theories is that the crafts are attracted to the water between Vancouver and Vancouver Island. And also you can consider what geographers would call it, the micro scale. This would be very small scales of False Creek, which is a body of water which cuts into around the downtown. So one of my arguments is that you cannot take away the geography of any kind of paranormal occurrence. So another idea here would be how many houses are haunted, even objects emanate certain strange energies and so on. And of course, in our discussion of the crop circles, they're concentrated in the county of Wiltshire, which I believe, and many others, that is very much connected to their sacred landscape.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So you cover quite a few things in your study, but focus mainly on the big three, from my understanding, the UFOs, yeah, hauntings, and Bigfoot. Which of the three do you feel are most active in culture today?
I think that's a good question. At least in North America, I would say that they're fairly equal. They each have their own geography too, Randall. So obviously, Pacific Northwest, BC, there is a lot of interest in Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Where I live in Vancouver, you see, lampposts, mailboxes with these little Sasquatch stickers. People print them up and they put them around in the public space. And so that exhibits the familiarity, even the enthusiasm for Sasquatch in Vancouver. You get numerous Sasquatch conferences in this region. I'll be going to the Sasquatch Summit in Ocean Shores, Washington next month. So there's a geography there. I find it interesting that the UFO conferences often take place in the mountain states, the western parts of the U.S. The MUFON this year was in New Jersey, near New Jersey, but so they try and spread it around. But the conference sites, the experiences in the desert are often in the neighborhoods of the Roswells and other site UFO sites. Ghosts, what's interesting there is this is a centuries old, millennia old aspect of human culture to consider the what happens after death and the encounters with ghostly figures.
Let's do our break here. We'll have more with Paul Kingsbury, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with Randall and Jean and Paul Kingsbury. Randall, you want to pick up on the questioning?
So that makes perfect sense. We have regional phenomena. And that depends very much on the geography. So if you've got a mountainous region or a highly forested region, it seems to be that there would be more activity in terms of cryptozoological phenomena. And whereas, let's say, if you're in Florida, you might be closer to the Bermuda Triangle where there's strange disappearances. So from a geographical perspective, you could probably create a map where you have higher incidence of certain types of phenomena than others.
Right. So on MUFON's website, they have a live UFO map. And so they have their field investigators, also members of the public who will be reporting the UFOs, and they will plot them onto a map of North America, which gives you kind of a live reading of certain sightings. And again, different parts of the world gather together different paranormal entities, and geography matters. You can't separate the two between geography and the paranormal.
I would imagine that you could probably overlay other types of cultural attributes to the paranormal as well. For example, say if you were to look at the geographical distribution of religious belief, you might find that there are certain correlations there. Have you tried doing any of that?
Most locally, I've been intrigued by the First Nations native links with Bigfoot, Sasquatch. So Sasquatch, the very word itself, comes from a First Nations word, Sasquatch, in British Columbia. And so I went on an investigation with my PhD student, Oliver Keane. We went to Vancouver Island and were led by Tom Seward, who's First Nations guy, during a two-night investigation on the island, and he would provide us with the First Nations perspective on Sasquatch. And this also occurred during the opening of the Sasquatch Summit I went to in 2016. A native elder opened up the conference with a prayer, and he impressed upon the delegates at the conference that Bigfoot is not an animal, but rather it's a person, and that it deserves respect, and that it should be treated with reverence. So it's not simply a Western phenomenon, the paranormal, but it occurs in different kinds of cultures and has long histories.
So when you zero in on the regions, then I would suspect that there would also be a difference between the rural and the urban environment for a number of these phenomena. So say something like hauntings, you might find that equally distributed in urban areas as you would in rural areas, whereas something like Sasquatch or UFOs, they tend to be more out in the wild almost, definitely in the outskirts, not centered so much over large cities, usually.
Exactly, Randall. So I've been on just over a dozen ghost investigations in the lower mainland of BC, the vicinity of Vancouver. Many of these investigations have occurred in suburban areas, and I've asked the investigators why they think they take place quite a lot in the Surrey area, which is in the South Surrey area, which is quite rural. They suggest there's a lot of First Nations former settlements there. They may think the chalk landscape may have something to do with it. But also there's been investigations in downtown condos in Vancouver, whereby a man felt he was being hunted, actually, not haunted, in his office by a strange presence. And so this is, you know, in a multi-story tower removed from the ground. And, well, one of the geographies of the ghosts is that they drift in and out of various places. They're quite mobile. Sometimes they're fixed to a particular site, but some ghosts are able to move around. And they will appear, in, for some of the investigators, will sense them. They will be curious as to what's going on during an investigation. So, yeah, different the big three of ghosts, UFOs, Sasquatch, each have their own particular regional geography.
When you've been investigating the cultural aspect of it, you've, like you said, you've been out to conferences and seen how people interact. What are some of the common things you find with paranormal investigators in terms of their outlook on the phenomena itself and what their reasons are for getting into the field?
Yeah, so one of my first findings in the research, and I'm in the last year now, year four, is that people get involved in these investigation cultures because they have had an extraordinary, a very profound experience, perhaps as a child, that they could not explain. And they want to get to the bottom of it. They want to find out more. And given the predilection of many people to ridicule such experiences, they seek like-minded people or a place where they can't, they won't be judged or risk losing their job, for example. So they get involved because they themselves have had a paranormal experience. They also remain in these groups because they're supportive of the groups. It's a lot of fun to go on investigations where you go to a heritage site, for example, that there's a salmon cannery at Steveston nearby I've been on. And so these investigations, you kind of step out of the normal world, the everyday spaces, and into a building that you would never normally go to or meet clients, people that you would never normally meet. And they, too, share the drive of the investigators that they believe something strange, perhaps disturbing, is going on, and they want to get to the bottom of it. And so I think this actually unites the UFO, ghost, and Sasquatch investigators in terms of they've had a very profound encounter, and some of them wish to repeat this encounter because of how enthralling it is.
It's certainly a life-changing experience for those who have the experience. Most of us, if we wanted to, or most people, if they wanted to, they could learn a lot about it by reading. But the firsthand experience really is a whole other level in terms of motivating somebody to become interested. Do you find that people who study it are just as interested as those who had firsthand experiences, or is it really sort of two-tiered in that way?
Good question. I found, particularly with the ghost investigators, a great deal of diversity within the group. So some of them actually will be skeptical. They will be open-minded, but they're not going to necessarily say, yes, this is spirit or this is an energy related passed on persons. They keep an open mind, whereas some of the investigators will be sensitive. They have a kind of ability to discern the other side, sense the other side, sometimes see other spirit entities. But I find that even the so-called the believers, if you will still refuse to explain what it is, how what a ghost is, how hauntings work. One of the refrains amongst many of the ghost investigator groups, I've been working with five, is that no one has the answers. No one knows. And so even in the UFO communities, if someone declares that they've solved the mystery, that they know what these strange shapes are, these orbs and so on, then many people would distance themselves from such figures because people generally think this is a mystery that we have not yet to explain to get to the bottom.
Do you think that might have something to do with, say, protecting each other's own turf, so to speak? In other words, if somebody comes up with an explanation, that is, you know, would be perceived as sort of a threat to their particular situation. Because as soon as somebody's got it explained, well, then that kind of devalues the other, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, it could be if someone claims to have the answer to this, you know, undoubtedly complicated, mysterious realm, even within these various, you know, the big three genres, then that in effect transforms the object or the experience. So one of the things I like to think about is, you know, the paranormal object by definition is that which cannot be understood and therefore contained by science for prediction, measurability, and so on. And so the paranormal object always has to be out of reach to be a paranormal or unexplained event or phenomena. And so if someone managed to get Bigfoot in a crate or a ghost in a test tube or a ET in a room, the entire field would change. It would become like academia, regulated, monitored.
That's right. We got Gene and Randall and Paul. You're in
the
Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.